so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Hallelujah. Come on, if you love the presence of God, would you give him a shout of praise in this place? Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, let's give him a chain-breaking shout of praise. Not just a little one. Come on, if you love the presence and the house of God in this room, in that room, wherever you are, give him a shout of praise. 10 more seconds of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in church with you today. I think that we have for sure today maxed out the number of people we'll be able to have here, and next week we're going to have to overflow as more and more people start to venture out. Isn't that awesome? And again, I got to say to everybody online, it is okay that you are with us online. Don't let any of us make you feel like you're less because you're still watching online. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us wisdom, right? And we all seek God, and we all ask God, what's right for my family, when and how? And we trust that as a person of God and as an adult, that you're going to make just wise, God-informed decisions for your family. And we support you in that, and we're excited about the day that you do come and worship with us here at Eternity Church. And, you know, Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's my heart that not only would we not be condemned, but that there would therefore now be no condemnation coming from those who are in Christ Jesus. None coming from us. Not only do we want to be living free of condemnation in our lives, we want to live free of putting that on other people. Amen. And so if you're online, God bless you. You know, Scripture, you know, we hear a lot of people say, faith over fear. And I'm a big faith guy, big faith preacher. You want to be healed? I believe it. You want to live a blessed life? I believe it. Amen. I'm a big faith guy. I moved to America from Australia. Faith, right? We planted a church. Faith. We bought this building. Faith. I'm a big faith guy. And the faith steps I want to take, you ain't seen nothing yet. I want ambitious faith. I want faith that makes the world think I'm a freak, right? They're like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, watch me, right? Like, I'm a big faith guy. But the one problem with the faith over fear thing, that's a great personal conviction. Personal conviction. I want to have faith over the fear in my life. But did you know my faith isn't what's going to help you overcome your fear? Scripture says it's love that overcomes fear. So I can't say to you, you need more faith, you need more faith. No, but what I can do is love you where you're at. So why at Eternity Church, where people of faith, we believe that Jesus Christ is the great physician, right? And the Holy Spirit is with us, and the power and the presence of God will heal and protect us. So why would we have sanitizer everywhere? Well, I'm a bit of a germaphobe anyway, so we love sanitizer at our house. But why would we have some of these social distancing stuff? It's not only so that we can fulfill the obligations to our city and you know, because we want to love our city and respect them. It's not only because of that. It's also because, you know what we can do? We can love those who are afraid enough so that they can overcome their fear. So why are our volunteers wearing masks when, you know, most people don't want to? Why are they wearing masks? So not only the most ready to come to church enjoy it, but so the least ready enjoy it too. Do you understand? We want to love people. I'm not going to yell faith at people who are afraid. I'm going to love them until their fear turns into faith. The other end. Faith doesn't overcome fear. Faith is the other side of it. The thing that moves people across it is love. And we love them where they're at. We love you where you're at. We love you where you're at. And so at Eternity Church, we're going to love people. You know, it's been a tough week for our nation. It feels good to be able to say our nation. I love living in the United States. I'm so blessed. I thank God that He gave me the opportunity to move here on visas and now green cards, and we get to stay here. And then we always tell people that we had, before we got green cards, we had our three little anchor babies. So they can't get rid of us because our babies are American. And so you can't get rid of us, you know, even if we do something wrong. We're stuck here because of those three kids, and we thank God for that. But in our nation, in America, my favorite place on earth, right here in America, it's been a tough week, hasn't it? And I'm glad you're here in church, because what we all need right now is a gap. We need a gap. We just need a moment. We need a space. There's an old hymn that says that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We're asking God to let His glory pass before us in this place, because we need a gap. People are hurting. People all over the place are hurting. It's not one group. It's not two groups. It's not three groups. It's people are hurting. Scripture says to mourn with those who mourn. And it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Here's a moment where we're going to love. We love you. We love everyone. We love you. No matter who you are, no matter what side of any side of whatever you're on, I believe in a God of grace, a God of love, a God of hope. We love you. But this service, this moment, is an opportunity for us to have just the troubles in our lives. Not just the things in the media, but what's going on in your life. I don't know. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know if there's pain. I don't know if there's hurt. I don't know if there's divorce. I don't know if there's abuse. I don't know if you lost your job. I don't know what's happening in your life. But so I'm not just talking about things in the news. Whatever's in your life, whatever's causing you just pain and hurt and distraction, I pray that this moment, that those things would grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and His presence. One thing we always do at Eternity Church, we've got Instagrams, we've got Facebooks, and we can talk and we can do whatever we want, and we can go places and we can do things. It's cool. But one thing we commit to, that the Sunday service is a gap. It's a gap. It's a gap. It's reset day. It's that moment where you get to reset your eyes on Jesus so you can handle what you're gonna see when you walk out the door. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your glory. God, I pray like the word says. May your goodness and your glory pass before us, right before our eyes. May we taste and see that God is good. God, we're not blind. We know things are going on in the world. But in this moment, we just commit it to you to help each and every one of us become all that you designed us to be, to find our value in you, to find our value in your presence. God, I pray that you would, for every one of us, for the most broken to the most healed, from the strongest to the weakest, from the most ambitious faithful to the most afraid in this room, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would come into this room, into that room, into every room, and release us. Cause the things of the world to grow strangely dim so that we can spend this moment being revived, being inspired, being encouraged and reminded that you are glorious, that you are good, that you are generous, that you are kind. In Jesus' name. Would everybody say amen? Amen. Come on, say amen like you want it. Amen. If you're new here, by the way, welcome to church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. You are so welcome here. You're so welcome online, on Facebook, on my Facebook, the church Facebook, and on YouTube, and on our website. It's everywhere. And so you're just so welcome here. I'd ask you to go to myeternity.com/new and fill out the form there, and we're going to send you a free gift in the mail. If you're in the room here, though, you can fill that form out online, myeternity.com/new, and then on your way out the door, grab a welcome bag, all right? Please, come on, it's free stuff, and at Eternity Church, it's not crap, all right? We're not like that place that says, hey, we're going to give away some stuff because we don't want it. No, we're going to give you some good stuff, all right? So go grab that on your way out, that'd be fantastic. So you may take your seats, air five your neighbor, high five them if you live with them. Yep. Everything sort of runs a little different these days, but I know and believe with all my heart that we'll be back to high-fiving strangers, licking door handles and hugging everyone that we see just like we used to, all right? And so looking forward to that. Or is it only just my family that licks door handles, you know? Is that just my kids? Is that what it is? Yeah? Okay, cool. My kids, we go out to restaurants and they lick the salt shakers, so we've had to teach them that that's not good anymore. You can start doing that again in a few months once you've been vaccinated or something. But we'll wait till then. So, anyway, I was talking to someone before church today, and this has nothing to do with my sermon. This is for free, all right? This is just for you, all right? I was talking to someone before church, and they were telling me how they've been wearing a mask when they go to certain places, you know, and at those places, everybody still recognizes them. They're like, hey, Tammy, how you doing? And you know, and like you know, some people here are wearing masks, and you're like, hey, Michelle, hey, Tammy, hey, how are you? And you recognize them, right? And so we're trying to figure out, why do bank robbers wear masks? Like, clearly we can still recognize you, right? So anyway, that's it. That's what we talked about before church. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. You ready for the word?
Yeah.
Awesome. So what'd you learn today? If you're going to rob a bank, take out the cameras. Don't worry about the mask, all right? Deal. All right. That's terrible advice from the pastor, isn't it? Whatever. It's good advice if you're in that line of work, though. All right? And so, anyway. All right, let's get back to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come. Hallelujah. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God. What happened? Did I do it? Did I earn it? Did I behave my way into a new creation? No. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus and no longer counting people's sins against them.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, look at your neighbor, say, I'm Teflon, baby. God is no longer counting your sins against you. It's like you're Teflon. You sin, didn't stick. Amen. I love it. God's not just saying, hey, your past sins aren't counted against you. Hey, today's sins aren't counted against you. No, he's saying, I no longer count your sin against you. It's like you're made of Teflon. This new creation that you are, that you've been born again into, it's Teflon. Come on. Your sin don't stick no more. Come on, high five your neighbor if you live with them, air five everybody else. Say that's good, amen. Here's the thing about your sin though. Hey, we're not redefining what's right and wrong. If the Word of God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If it says it's right, it's right. But we're saying, God, thank you that the wrong that I do doesn't stick to who I am anymore. Doesn't define my value, doesn't dictate my ticket into heaven or not, amen? I am a new creation. This week, we had a really interesting week at the Newman House. It was a weird week. Let's just be real. It was flipping weird, all right? We had a weird week at our house. Somehow, we ended up with another son, and I didn't like it. Another kid started living with us. But thankfully, he is on his way out. It seems he's getting less attention, so he's moving out now. And we are just fine with that. And before you judge me for not wanting to take on another kid, I got five before this other bozo come to live with us, all right? All right, so don't judge me because I don't want to drive one of those Mercedes big long minivan things again that have 12 seats in them, all right? Don't you judge me, all right? Everybody knows that when you can't fit your family in a Suburban, you've gone too far. All right? Right, like I had a minivan, I ain't going back to a van, all right? Like, come on. Hey, if you've done it, hey, God bless you. I pray that the Lord would help you. Y'all know you need help. I pray it, all right? It's hard enough at five. I ain't going back to being a van family, all right? I worked hard to become a Suburban family, all right? I can't go back. And if I went back, it wouldn't even be a normal van. It'd be one of those limousine vans. I ain't doing it. That's our motto anyway in the Newman family. Hey, you do you, boo-boo, but we believe that if you can't fit in a Suburban, you've gone too far for the Newman family. But this week, we got another kid. See, Charlie was getting annoyed that all the other kids in the cul-de-sac didn't want to do what Charlie wanted to do. And Charlie's like that. It's my way or the highway. That's it. We ain't going to talk about it, all right? So Charlie went and made a new friend. And y'all like, oh, what a sweet kid. No, he didn't go and find a new friend. That's not what I said. He made a new friend. No, literally, Charlie made out of cardboard, sticky tape, and paint a new friend. Like, let's put him on the screen. There's Charlie's friend. Like, that's a weird dude. And I'm talking about the friend, not Charlie. But if the shoe fits, whatever. Charlie's 7, and he made a new friend. Charlie loved this guy. He literally walked around the neighborhood and introduced his friend to people, telling people how high he can jump and how he can fly. We started getting scared. Come on, any parents in the room, admit you would have been scared if you were us this week. Come on, put your hands up. Be brave. Be honest with me, yeah? Like, we started getting scared. We're like, oh, no, God, help us. God, please help. God, for the love. Please don't let this become a drop-dead Fred scenario. God, please, for the love, do not let this become an invisible friend. We're not perfect parents. I get that, but we cannot be those parents. You know, the ones that neglect their kids so bad that he had to invent a friend. We've already become a homeschool family. We can't become an invisible friend family. We're not really a homeschool family. We just have been for the last 8 weeks. Worst thing that ever happened in my life. Come on. It gets a little weirder, though. Charlie named him Evil Fred. Like, that's weird. Is it just me or is that weird? Come on, yell at me, church. Yell at me. Come on. I know you've been watching sermons on TV in your underpants, but we're in church now. Yell at me a little bit. Is that weird? Right? It's weird. Evil Fred. But the second he introduced me and everybody else and you, if you have the good pleasure of ever meeting Evil Fred, Charlie will tell you his name is Evil Fred. But he's not actually evil. That's just what he's known as, Dad. Like, it's his reputation. He hasn't been evil for a very long time. He's never once been evil in the Newman home, but that's all we call him, Evil Fred. I've never seen him do anything naughty or even suspicious, but we call him Evil Fred. I know y'all are judging me like your kids wouldn't do this. How many of you, though, are living in the reputation of your past mistakes, things you don't even do anymore? Things you don't even say anymore. Places you ain't been in a long time, but they still call you Evil Fred. How many of you believe what Jesus said? You're born again. Give me a wave. Like, you're born again, right? You're a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. But people still call you Evil Tony, Evil Jenny, Evil Jamal, Evil Hannah, Evil Jesus, Evil James, Evil Fred. Or you lost weight, but people still call you Fat Jenny, or Fat Jamal, or Fat Albert. Or you used to have pimples, so people call you Pimple Face. You used to be hooked on drugs, and that's still how they differentiate you between friends. Is it this Billy Bob or is it that Billy Bob? It's Drugo Billy Bob. Like, right, people still calling you what you used to be. You're a new creation. You've been born again. Jesus has done a miracle in your life, but you can't shake the bad reputation. Maybe you didn't even do it. Maybe you did nothing wrong, but you're carrying the reputation of somebody else's poor decisions, somebody else's bad choices. Maybe, are you a rich guy or a rich gal? And everybody assumes that you don't care about your workers because some other rich guy or some other rich gal didn't care about their workers. Are you a used car salesman? We don't even need to add the definition. Y'all know what comes next, right? A crooked used car salesman, right? But you've never ripped anyone off in your life. You genuinely believe that putting a family back in a minivan would be good for them. You're wrong, but you thought it would be. Right? And so you've got a reputation because of something somebody else did. Are you a Middle Easterner who every time you get on an airplane, people look and people judge and people whisper? Are you an Aussie who everyone assumes that you cuss like a sailor because they met this one pastor guy named Jesse and he can't even not cuss in a sermon? So obviously all Aussies cuss too much, which admittedly they do. Are you a McDonald's worker who everyone assumes has no ambition because you're just work at McDonald's? Are you struggling to make ends meet and you don't have enough for your family or enough for yourself? People assume that you're lazy or not working hard enough. Do you know what it's like to try and shed a bad reputation? Yeah. Do you? Have you ever had a thing where people say you are, oh, they're a gossip, oh, they're a B word, oh, they're a this, oh, they're a that, oh, you know, oh, that's just JC, that's just Ian, that's just Sean. Have you ever had people say things like that about you? And you can't shed this bad reputation. You're like, God, I didn't even do it. And they treat me like I did. God, I'm not the same gal that I used to be. And they still call me what I was. Why can't they see who I am? Why can't they see the work that I've done to step away from what I was and become what I am? Why do they still call me Evil Fred when they've never even seen me do anything evil? Today, the title of my message is Bad Reputation, all right? I didn't even care about my bad reputation. And I didn't even cuss when I sang a song that had a cuss word in it. Growth, hashtag awesome, glory to God. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Don't worry, I'll sing you another song later on. Let's talk about the bad rep that you got, that you had, that you get. See, here's the thing about reputations. There's how you see you, there's how they see you, and there's how he sees you. And does it even matter? You ready for it? Ready to talk about the bad reputation? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, let's go. Hey, this service is awake. Come on. I even heard the people online. You're awesome. Thank you. Every single person here has some reputation to deal with. Every one of you, right? Everyone. There isn't a person here who hasn't had to deal with a bad rep at some point. Ain't nobody perfect, right? Like we always say, you hear a lot of churches say no perfect people are allowed. Hey, at Eternity Church, everyone's welcome. So if you're perfect, you are allowed, but none have come yet, right? So like everybody here has had to deal with a bad rep at some point. If you're in here and you're like, you know, not me. Oh, you had one, or you've got one, and ain't nobody told you about it. If you think you've never had a bad rep, if you're like, oh, I've never, ever had a bad reputation, trust me, everybody thinks you're stuck up, and that's your bad reputation, all right? Like, if you think, oh, I've never had one, oh, no, you've got one, no one's told you about it, so you probably still got it, all right? Let me tell you the thing about a reputation. There's how people see you, and they see you how you used to be. That's it. People who don't know Jesus, people who haven't been given the eyes of the Lord, they're going to see you how you used to be. You're going to see how you are and what you do. God sees you, what you will do, and how you're going to be. People often see what you used to be and what you used to do, right? They always talk about it. Well, you used to, well, you were at, I remember when. That's why we have a resume, isn't it? When you apply for a job, they're like, give me a resume. And I want to see where you've been. I want to know where you come from. I want to know what you've done, who you've worked for. I want to know all about where you've been. It's everything you've done, everywhere you've worked, everything you've learned. And when people look at us, they see a resume. They look at us and they decide our worth based on where we've been and what we've seen. And they decide from our history what kind of future we're going to have. They decide from our history and our resume if we're going to have any value tomorrow. They say things like, once a crook, always a crook. Yeah? They say things like, once an adulterer, always an adulterer. Once a cheater, always a cheater. You've probably heard this, once a liar, always a liar. The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Once a sinner, always a sinner. But you had a supernatural experience with God who forgives our sin, helps us overcome the patterns of our past, start living a better life, start living in who God says you are, but all they see is who you were. It's exhausting trying to change people's minds about who I am, about who I've become, what God's plans for my life are. When people look at you, do they see your skin color? Do they see your hair color? Do they see your hairstyle? Do they see the type of clothes you wear? Listen, there's nothing wrong with looking at someone and seeing their skin color, seeing their hair color, seeing their hairstyle, seeing the clothes that they wear and appreciating those things. The problem comes when we assign value to a person based on those things. When we think we know what their future holds because of the way they do their hair. You know, when I first moved to Des Moines, a guy, when we were looking for a building, a guy told me, you should probably start wearing blue jeans or khakis instead of these skinny things you wear if you want businesses to take you serious. So I said, goodbye, next. Come on, goodbye, next. I'm a dress how I dress. My value and potential to the kingdom of God has nothing to do with blue jeans and khakis. Next. Next. When others see us, they see what we were or what we're doing today. So come on, don't put any stock in what they say about you. Don't put any stock in what they think about you. Don't put any stock in what they say you can or cannot do in your life. Amen. But then there's how I see me, how you see you. When you see you, you see what you are now and what you do now. On one side, that's good. On one side, that's bad. Because on one side, you're like, you see all the work that you've done to stop doing what you used to do. And it's good. Isn't it? It's good. Hey, I don't do that anymore. God has helped me overcome. I don't look at that anymore. God has helped me overcome. I don't say that to people anymore. God has helped me overcome. I don't feel that way anymore. God has helped me overcome. But you also see your present struggle, your present failure, the current garbage that you're wading through in your own heart, in your life. And on one hand, we wish people wouldn't identify us by the things we used to do and used to be. On the other hand, we don't want them to even know, let alone identify us by the things that we do right now. See, you can tend to undervalue your future by looking at what you still do wrong. You can tend to undervalue your worth to God and the kingdom of God by looking at your behavior, even as compared to what it used to be. I don't want to let people project my future based on my past. And I don't want to let myself write my story even based on my present, even in comparison to my past. I want to let the Holy Spirit be my guide. Why? I want to follow the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or imagine. That's a scripture. That wasn't just some nice, that sounded good. Did he come up with that? No, that's the word of God. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. Come on, he can't just do what you can imagine. He can't just do what you ask. He can do above it. Exceedingly above it, abundantly above it, amen? See, if I write my future based on my present, it's not going to include the above. It's not going to include the exceedingly. It's not going to include the abundant. It's only going to have the what I can ask for and imagine. If I write my future, it's based on what I can ask for, what I can imagine. But the Holy Ghost writes it based on above what I can ask. You know what I love about that scripture? He's like, I can do more than they can ask or imagine. But sometimes people are like, whatevs, I don't get it. I'm going to drive it home for them. I can do exceedingly. I don't think they get it yet. Abundantly. I don't think they get it yet. Above all that they can ask. They still don't get it. Or even think of. I can do more. I want to tap in and lean in to Holy Ghost to write my future because I want the exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even imagine to happen in my life. I'm going to sell my story short if I write it based on my own current behavior or circumstances. See, when God sees me, he doesn't see me as I was, as I am, as I did, as I do. He sees how I will be. He sees the finished product. Oh, you used to be A or B or C, and you used to lie, or you used to cheat, or you used to steal, but that's not who you are now. Amen, also, not my words, word of God. What's it say? God said, scripture says, hey, these people won't inherit the kingdom of God. And these people won't inherit the kingdom. Listen, like liars and cheaters and thieves and all this gear, right? Like it's a list and says, you won't do that. You can't do that. These people won't inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, and that is what you were. Amen. That's not who you are now. Amen. That's not who you are now. Come on, that's not who you are now. Amen. And see, again, we're not saying that those things aren't wrong. They are. But like I said, when we become a new creation, we're Teflon, baby. Now the things that we do wrong, they don't stick. They don't define who we are. They don't define our value. They don't dictate what we can and cannot do for the kingdom of God. We are who he says we are, not what we do, not what we did. You can't behave your way into heaven. You can't behave your way into righteousness. You can't behave your way into glory. All you can do is say, God, I need you. I want to be what you say I am. I want to do what you say I can do. Well, when others decide based on our history what our future value will be, they just go, oh, well, that's what they did. That's what they are. The best indicator of future performance is past performance. The best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. That's trash. That leaves zero opportunity for the Holy Ghost. That's trash. That's absolute rubbish. While others decide, based on your history, what your future value will be, God looks at your future and decides what your current value is. God sees you as the finished product. God sees you as holy, righteous. God sees you as perfect. God sees you as loved. God sees you as useful. God sees you with purpose and with destiny. And he looks at where you're going and says, that's what you're worth now. Come on, you need to write that down. God values you based on how he sees you, and God sees you how you will be. The moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are perfect in his eyes. God, who knows the beginning from the end, sees what you'll be, how useful you are, what you'll do, and says, brilliant. Gold, rubies. Scripture says that we're worth more than gold and rubies and silver. Because he knows the beginning from the end. He knows that you trying to behave your way is not going to do it, but he can love you into victory. He can grace you into overcoming. He can mercy you into a blessed life. Amen. I'm only halfway through my notes. I got problems. I'm going to speed up a little bit. We're going to get there. I promise to land the plane, all right? Can you stay on the plane with me for a bit longer?
Yep.
Like maybe like just 30, 45, 65 more minutes? Good with that? Cool. Cool. I'm kidding. Like 10, all right? Give me 10. Nah, that's a lie. 12. Give me 12. I want to read the story of Jacob to you because there's a story about Jacob, how he changed his bad reputation, all right? Let me tell you his rep first. Wait, hey, do you know the story of Jacob?
Yeah.
Some of you do, some of you don't. Let me tell you about Jacob. He had a pretty bad rep. Jacob was literally known as the man who would hold others back by grabbing at your heels. Cool name, bro. His name meant that. His name meant supplanter. He was known as the guy who would snivel and connivel his way into positions of power by unseating those who were already there like a snake. That's what his name meant. Old Testament name. That's what his name meant. He was known as a liar. He was known as a deceiver. He was known as someone who holds people back. He stole his brother's birthright by deceiving him out of it. But after a while, Jacob got sick of being that guy. He got sick of being told what his value is, being told who he is, being told that he is the sum of his past mistakes. He's like, God, I need to change my life. I want a changed reputation. Genesis 32, 22 to 32. I'm going to read it to you. You ready? It's up on the screen. It says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives. Dude, that ain't right. Anyway. Some people just weren't brilliant back then, you know? Like, I know. I'm not good enough for the one I got. That was Lauren. Like I made that good. Anyway, all right. Anyway, they crossed the ford to Jabbok. After he had sent everyone across, he sent over all his possessions, and then Jacob was left alone. And a man who we know from a couple of verses later was God, God in the form of a man, wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, nah, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And then God asks him, what's your name? Interesting, isn't it? All night long, it's when Jacob's, I ain't letting you go till you bless me, that God says to the man, what's your name? Can I tell you right now, God knows your name. He already knows your name. He's not asking, what's your name? He's saying, what's the thing you want changed in your life? He's saying, what do you want me to do? You asked for a blessing, so what do you want me to do? What do people call you? And he said, Jacob, liar, deceiver, supplanter, conniver, snake. And then the man who was God said, your name will no longer be liar, will no longer be Jacob, will no longer be supplanter. Your name is Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he said, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw the face of God and yet my life was spared. That's a cool story, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool story. What's happening in this story? It's an Old Testament glimpse of what God was planning to do all along with Jesus Christ. Take what we were, take what we are, and make us brand new.
Yeah.
The moment that we come into a relationship with Jesus, we are a new creation. We're no longer what we used to be spiritually, right? Which I would argue is more real than the physical, since the physical will pass away, but the spiritual lasts forever. Spiritually, you're a new creation. When God sees you and looks at your past, he don't even believe it was you. Like, for real. He can't see that was you, because you're a brand new creation. When he sees you, you got a new name, Jesus. Son of God, daughter of God, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, righteous, holy, perfect, redeemed, amen. So he looks at your past, he's like, that wasn't you. God sees the wrong you do today, he's like, that wasn't you. They're not what they used to be. They're not what they were. They are what I say they are. Holy, righteous, dearly loved, blessed and highly favored, amen. It's literally like what we did wasn't us. How could I forget that I had given her a key? They even got it on camera. Wasn't me. It's like Shaggy. All right, in a sermon, it was like Shaggy.
That's right.
Come on. They got it on camera, and God's like, wasn't Jesse. They got it on camera. God's like, wasn't Chris, wasn't Lauren, wasn't me. You are not what you did. You are not what you said. You are not what you were. The old is buried, crucified with Christ. You're a new creation, rising from the dead, rising up out of the grave like Jesus. He rose up and prophesied that you're a new creation. But the thing is, that's the truth of God in our lives. Sometimes I don't believe it about myself. Sometimes, a lot of the times, they don't believe it about me. God's saying it wasn't me. God's saying I'm brand new. God's saying I'm righteous. God's saying I'm blessed and highly favored. But they still call me what I was and what I did. How do I get myself to see myself the way God sees me? How do I begin to value myself based upon God's word and not their word? You want to know what the answer is? Y'all need to wrestle with God like Jacob did. You need to wrestle with God the way that Jacob wrestled with God. Because you got to understand something. He wasn't fighting God. He wasn't just, you know, wrestling with God like, no, I'm going to win this because I want to go to state championship. That's not what was going on. We're going to go back and have a look. I'm going to read from verse 26 in a second because this is really important. You've got to understand. Before the wrestling, he was a liar. Before the wrestling, he was a deceiver. Before the wrestling, he was a cheater. Before the wrestling, nobody wanted to hang around him because being around him threatened your position and would hold you back. But after the wrestling, he was a new creation. He had a new name. He had a new reputation. It says in verse 26, the man who we know was God said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the man asked in response of the blessing, "I want something from you, God. I want something, God." And the man responds and says, "What do they call you? What does everyone say about you?" Listen to me. He wasn't fighting with God. He wasn't annoying God. He wasn't just wrestling with God to go to state. He didn't want to leave. Something about being in God's presence fulfilled him. Something about being in God's presence made him believe that all things are possible, that maybe it's true that I can do and become exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or even imagine. And he said to God, "I'm not gonna let go of you. I want to stay stuck in your presence. I'm holding on. I'm wrestling for the presence of God. I want to feel like I feel now forever. I'm not going to let you go until you make this real out there. Until this thing, this feeling I got, this value that I got, this all things are possible sense and conviction that I've got in my heart, I'm not letting you go. I'm not leaving your presence until this is real out there." So God asked him the perfect question, the question that God knew he sought, the change God knew he wanted, the value that he sought. And God says, "What do they call you?" He says, "They call me Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, liar. I don't want to live like this anymore. This is not what I want. I want to break free from what they call me. I want to be what I feel in your presence." And God says, "From now on, your name is Israel." Church, friends, what do they call you? What's your name? What value have other people assigned to you based on the things that you do or done? Come on, do you want to shed a bad reputation? Can I have some bad reputation shedding music? Like ultra cool music? That would be nice. Are you sick of being labeled from your past? Are you? Are you sick of being labeled or judged by other people's pasts? Sick of people assigning your value based on your hairstyle or the clothes that you wear? Tired of people trying to determine your net worth. Sorry, trying to determine your worth by your net worth or by your profession. Do you wish people would see you the way God sees you? You need to fall in love with the presence of God like Jacob did. Jacob didn't just come for a moment. He's not like, you know what? I feel like crap. I'm just going to go, hey, God, cool, done. He wasn't content with a small experience. He was willing to experience the discomfort of a torn hip to stay a little longer. And so God blessed him with a new name. He hurt his hip and then said, I still ain't going until you bless me. You know, immediately after this encounter, he meets with his brother Esau, who he hadn't seen for a very long time. Last time he saw Esau, he was a deceiver, a liar, and a thief. But when he finally sees his brother again, does Esau see him as a deceiver, as a liar, as a thief? This is immediately after the wrestling. Now he sees him as a brother, embraces, hugs, and loves him. Too many of us want God to do a miracle in our lives, and we aren't willing to get in his presence. Too many of us want to see God do a miracle in our lives, but we don't value his presence. Oh, I don't want a sore arm lifting my hands to Jesus. Even though it's very biblical and scripture tells us about lifting holy hands in worship and acts of surrender and desperation for more of God. But I might get a sore arm. Oh, I don't want to wait. I want to watch online, but I don't want to wake up early enough to, you know, I can skip the worship part because then you get some more sleep. Hey, if you're going to skip the worship, the word's not going to get in your heart either. Come on. Now, I'm the preacher. I'm telling you to value that before this will even get in your heart. If you're going to skip the worship, the word's not going to have much effect. We want God to change our rep. We want God to change our lives. Jacob endured a struggle all night to the point that he almost dislocated his hip in an effort to become who God has called him to be. If you want to be all that God has called you to be, if you want others to see you the way that God sees you, nothing's going to change till you begin to value and have a desperation for the presence of God. If you want to become more than you are, it will change in the presence of God. If you want to overcome your past, presence of God. If you want to quit some sin in your life, presence of God. If you want to live the blessed life that God designed for you, presence of God. You know, after that scripture, after that moment, you can stand up with me actually. And because as you stand up, you know, you'll be more responsive. No, I'm just kidding. After that scripture where God changes Jacob's name to Israel, something really fascinating happens. And I've always found this fascinating. And I believe the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart a bit of a why for why this happens. I don't know what that was. He's renamed Israel. But in scripture after that, for a period of time, it goes back and forth. Have you noticed that? So immediately after he's named Israel, he gets called Jacob, and then he gets called Israel. He has an encounter with this person. They're like, Israel. And then he has an encounter with this person, and Scripture calls him Jacob. And Scripture calls him Israel. And it calls him Jacob. And it's like, what? But I thought he had a new name. Why? What's with the back and forth? What's with this Jacob-Israel dance that's going on in Scripture? Why? It's because as you become what God's called you to be, some people are going to call you Israel. Some people are going to see you as Israel. But you might walk out this door, get on the phone, and someone might call you Jacob. Some people will always see you the way you used to be. And they'll call you Jacob. Let me tell you something about those people. You don't need them. You don't need them. Come on, look at me in the eyes. You don't need them. If they're still calling you Jacob, you don't need to worry about what they say. You should never put any stock in their opinions or their valuation or their predictions of what you can and cannot do. They are insignificant to your purpose. They will have no bearing on getting you any steps closer to where God has called you to be. You need to let them go. Maybe you slept around in high school or whatever else, and so somebody still calls you up and they're like, hey Jacob, come over tonight. Do you know what? I ain't Jacob. Delete my number.
Yeah, right.
If they call you Jacob, goodbye. I'd say talk to the hand, but you don't want to let them close enough to even smell your hand, let alone talk to it. Amen. Let them go. Get them out of your life. God is going to bring you people who call you Israel. They're the ones you need in your life. They're the ones whose opinions, whose wisdom that comes from God and value that you ought to put a little bit of stock in. How do you shed your bad reputation? I said all that to say this. The bad reputation that you think about yourself will be deleted and replaced in the presence of God. But the bad reputation that they say about you, you want to know how to shed the bad reputation? You shed the people that call you Jacob. Goodbye. Good riddance. Done. Thank you. Next. Blue jeans? No, thank you. I'm sticking with my skinny jeans. Come on. Thank you. Next. You got to shed them. God's going to bring you people who see you through His eyes. People who value you based on who God says you are. People who aren't even put off by the things you say and do today. People who, when you walk out of church and say, that was the best cuss word service I've ever been to, who just go, yeah, it was, hug me, come on. Oh, sorry, physically distant, hug me. I'm looking forward to hugs. I'm grieving hugs right now. God's going to bring you people who see you through His eyes, but you need to make room for them by shedding the people that call you Jacob. Amen. Yeah. Come on, praise God in here. Hallelujah. I talked for a long time to say that. We're going to pray for people in a moment because I believe, first, we're going to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Our service will end in 7 minutes. But first, I want to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Then we're also going to let you know that you can get prayer out the front of the building. We've got a team that are wearing masks and gloves. And so, you know, if you want them to lay hands on you and pray for you, happy to do it. Like I said, why would they wear that stuff? Well, love drives out fear. And so we love you enough to do whatever we need to do so you feel comfortable getting prayer, okay? And so we'll do that out there as well. The other thing is, in our prayer time in here, just as we sing this next song, as we worship, I want to encourage you to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit for two things. Number one, God, help me get rid of the people that call me Jacob. But there's another thing, because if you're in here and you're like, meh, my rep's good, I'm all right, it's cool. Then you need to ask God, hey God, are there any Israels that I've been calling Jacob? Because God, I don't want to be someone who holds people back from what you've told them they are. God, is there someone that I've been calling Jacob? God, I repent. God, I repent. Give me your eyes to see them as Israel, like you say they are. Because we don't just want to have a moment where we make our lives better by shedding the rep. We want to make their lives better by seeing them how God created them too. Amen. So in a moment when we transition into just worship or continue to worship, open up your heart as you sing and say, God, use this moment to make me more like you. And let's start by getting an eye transplant so I can see people the way you see them. Amen. I want to pray for people who don't know Jesus though, or maybe have walked away from God. And God's good. If anyone ever tells you anything else, it's a load of rubbish. God's good. Jesus actually said that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. And just so you know, I want to go a step better than that. So he says, and life abundantly. I want you to have a blessed life now and a blessed life forever. I want you to have life and life abundantly. And then there's a scripture that I love in Jeremiah, and I overquote it all the time, right? Overquote. I don't misquote it. I overquote it. I don't know that it's overquotable. It's scripture. Anyway, they do say that people aren't getting it till it feels like vomit coming out of your mouth. And it doesn't feel like vomit coming out of my mouth yet. I still love it. There's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, I know the plans that I got for you, says the Lord. They are plans to bless you and to give you a future and fill you with hope. And then, because some people get confused and they still think God's a jerk, he then adds a little disclaimer at the end and says, and never to harm you. God loves you. God loves you so much. I'd love for you to give him your life today and start a journey of becoming the person that he designed you to be. Whatever you are right now, however good you feel, it's better with him in your life. So I'd ask you to pray a prayer with me one line at a time. As you pray it, just believe it and speak it, all right? Give your life to Jesus Christ, and I promise you, it's gonna get better. Peace will come into your heart. Hope will flood your life. Blessing is on its way. God blesses his children, so join the family. Everyone in the room, I want you to repeat after me, and especially those who are away from God or those who have never known him. Pray this prayer with me. Give your life to Jesus. Start living the blessed life he designed for you. Everybody together, so no one's alone in this room and in that room. Everybody pray. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this new life the way you designed it. Extra special, blessed, full of hope, just for me. In Jesus' name, I commit my life to you. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, please do me a favor. Text the word eternity to the number 25827, or text or go to myeternity.com/Jesus. We want to send you a gift. We also want to give you an opportunity to read a bit more about Jesus and how and what God wants to do in your life. So please do that. The other thing I want you to do is in a moment, I'm going to have everyone close their eyes. Then I'll count to three and I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And so we've had people give their lives to Jesus in every service this weekend, actually every service again since we resumed services a few weeks ago. And so I want to give you that opportunity as well. I want to pray for you, okay? So if everybody could close their eyes, nobody looking around, no young people, no older people, no middle-aged people, no one in the band, no one down the back. Every eye closed, giving people the privacy they deserve, making the greatest, most significant decision of their lives. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, and you're coming back to Christ, either way, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand because I want to pray for you. So take this step of faith to reach out and receive what God wants to do in your life. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. You can put your hands down. Come on, yeah, praise God. Nine more people coming to the kingdom of God, living a blessed life, saying goodbye to the past, hello to God's plan. Come on, everybody, reach out your hands as we pray for them. Heavenly Father, thank you that this is a grace place. This is a space that you trust to welcome people into your family. God, I declare it. Their past is gone. The shame and the pain will break off their lives in the name of Jesus. They will not be the sum of their past mistakes. They're a child of God, a prince, a princess of heaven. God, I declare favor and blessing from the Word of God into their lives. God, begin to remap their minds to understand that they are not what they do. They are not who they were. They're a brand new creation. When the devil comes and tries to fill them with shame and the pain, regret from the past, God, I pray it would be like throwing dirt at Teflon. That your Holy Spirit would protect their hearts, seal the salvation on their hearts. And God, together with you and all the saints, we look forward to seeing the miraculous things that you're about to do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, thank God one more time.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.